Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So I need your attention right up here on the screen. And let's go there right now. And I've entitled this evening's message, The Lord is Faithful. The Lord is Faithful. And before we get started, let me just exhort us right now. How many believe that God has been faithful to you? I know He's been faithful to me. Listen, we live in a time right now in our generation where things are happening in a rapid succession. And we understand that there are relational issues, financial issues. There are situations on our job, situations in our school, our woke society that we're battling against. Everything wants to change what God has established in this nation. But I'm here to let you know, to encourage you, that God is faithful, even in situations that happen to our life. Listen, many of us are afflicted with medical conditions, and some of us, all we can do is turn to the Lord and cry out to God. But I'm here to let you know that God is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He will see us through. He will do what we cannot do for ourselves. When the doctor comes and gives you a bad report, when your job has to let you go, I'm here to let you know that God is faithful. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Praise God. So I've entitled this evening's message right here. Here we go. The Lord is faithful. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 9. 1 through 9. So are we ready? You got your Bibles? Well, let's go. Let's take this for a ride and allow the Holy Ghost to have His way. Can I get amen? And it reads, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. Say that with me at home. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this in verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Ooh, let's take a look at that a little closer in just a few moments. Verse 7, 8, and 9. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we may not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Wow, wow. So there's a lot to chew on right now. And so let's break it down. Let's go to verse 1. And it reads, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul was always asking for prayer. Prayer is essential. Paul prayed regularly for the believers in the various churches, and he did not hesitate to ask for their prayers in return. And as he prepared to offer final words of advice, he first asked them to pray for him and his co-workers, And the Greek word which means keep on praying. Keep on praying. Listen, saints of God, you and I, we cannot stop praying for one another. I'll tell you why. Because Satan wants to sift us like wheat. Oh, yes, he does. Especially those who are on fire for Christ. Those who want to live holy. Those who want to be sanctified by God. Listen, the Lord will allow us to be tested. And Satan will try to sift us as wheat. Why? Because that's what happened to Peter. Satan wanted to sift him. And many of us have been sifted. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, the focus of Paul's desire was that the Lord's message would spread rapidly and be honored wherever he goes. The preaching of the good news would result in honor being given to the Lord because of the marvelous results in the lives of those who believe. The Thessalonians had been an exemplary congregation. Praise God, praise God. Listen, we need to go back and read once again in 1 Thessalonians to see how Paul praised them. But in this second letter, things developed over time, and things will develop in churches over time. But let's look at how he exalted the Thessalonian church. And we are to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ for the church that he has given us. Can I get an amen? God has given us a lovely church. And we need to exalt him and magnify him and praise him and thank him for everything that he has given us. Everything has come from the Lord by grace. Hallelujah. And it had come supernaturally. Oh, that's right. When we first started out, we didn't have a dime. But yet God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. So let's go to the Word of God. Let's look back. Let's look back how Paul exalted the Thessalonians. Look at this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 through 10. And you became followers of us, of the Lord, having received the word of much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's the key, saints, having the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say what? Anything. Look at verse 9 and 10. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that, saints of God? See, there is a wrath coming. And Paul wanted to exhort and testify about this wonderful church in the first letter. And as we are now in the second letter, we're seeing things develop. But Paul wanted them, saints of God, to pray for God's power to intervene in other places so that many would be saved and God would be glorified through it. And so let's go now to verse 2. Here we go. Let's go back to the Word of God in verse 2. And that may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Wow. Wow. Saints of God, we think that's was only for today. No, it was back then too. You see, I need you to picture the church everywhere at large, throughout the nation, around the world. Every denomination, every church, God has a church within a church. What do I mean by that? That means let's take a big mega church. Well, not everyone is saved, but God has a remnant inside that church. And God knows who are his. And they know that God is their God. Why? Because they've been born again. They have repented from their sins. Yes, they've been washed in the blood. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. And now they're heaven bound and a hell to shun. Praise God. Praise God. And that's the key. That's the key for you and I to be walking worthy of the call in our lives? How many of you are walking worthy of the call? Praise God. Because none of us deserve this great salvation. But God, hallelujah, in his mind, before the foundation, his foreknowledge already elected us. And he chose us before he spoke everything into existence. Praise God. And so, saints, in addition to praying for more converts, Paul asked the believers to also pray that they would be saved from wicked and evil people. As the gospel message advances, it always faces severe opposition. Oh, that's right. Listen, just to pray, there's a battle. Let alone sharing your faith, sharing the gospel. There's a battle. There's a battle. And sometimes the enemy wants to muzzle you. But I'm here to let you know, if God be for you, who could be against you? It's time that we would rise up in faith and that we would speak, we would testify, we would tell others about the love of God, the grace of God, that God can deliver them, that God can save them, that God has an eternal life in store for them. Oh, that's right. Because we all know one thing is certain, those who die without Christ will see an eternal hell of torment. And this is why we are the called out ones. We are the chosen ones. Not because we deserve it. It's because God elected us and chose us. And so we are to be his watchmen on the wall. We are to be the ones who proclaim. We are the ones that need to expound and testify and share and win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ for such a time as this. Why? Because time is running short. We see the enemies. We see what's taking place in our nation. This is a time to get right, saints of God. This is a time to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen in the house? And so, my friends, the spiritual battle rages intensely for people's souls. And Satan does not easily let go of his own. Thus, the apostles needed prayer. If Paul asked for it, how much more should we believers today pray for one another? As they seek to share the gospel message, whether across the street or across the world. Praise God, praise God. And so we need God's equipment. How many believe we need God's equipment? We need his tools. That's right. We need everything that God has for us for such a time as this in the day that we live in. Let's look at this in the Word of God in Ephesians. Look at this, 6:10-18. Look at this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me just pause that there. Your friend, your family member, your co-worker, you may have an aunt with them, but this is more than just having an aunt with them. It's a spiritual battle. Oh, that's right. That's right. Our number one nemesis is not your spouse, not your child, not your co-worker, not your cousin, friend, it's Satan himself. And he will use unsaved people to get under your skin. But this is where you have to have great discernment. This is where you have to discern and look deeper. You got to look past the flesh and see the spiritual matter at hand. Because those strongholds can be pulled down by the power of God through prayer. Let's go back here and let's read this. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at this in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, as I just mentioned, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all. What? To stand. Look at this. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery, what? Darts of the wicked one. Praise God. Praise God. In these last two verses, saints of God, and take the helmet of salvation. Say that with me. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praise God. That's the key. That's the key. See, we think it's the person. And yes, in the natural, we do get upset. We do get mad. But in the spiritual, the enemy's using them. And it's a facade. This is why these things must come down through prayer and fasting. Can I get amen? Amen. That God will destroy that ugly thing in all of us, including me. There's an ugly thing inside of us that needs to be pulled down by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You see, saints of God, Paul's enemies were those who did not believe in the gospel. They didn't believe in the gospel message at all and were actively working against it. Hallelujah. Oh, but the Lord is faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. The Lord is faithful. Let's go back to the Word of God right here. Let's look at this. But the Lord, say that with me in verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. That's right. This is what God will do. God will, hallelujah, protect us. Why? Because He loves us. Once we gave our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and we were saved by grace through His faith, through faith, He now takes sole responsibility of you and I. That's right. And He will not allow anything that we cannot handle. There are things that we have to endure in this life, but He's with us. He wants to see us through. Can I get an amen? Saints, at the end of his first letter, Paul reminded the believers of God's faithfulness. And He can be depended upon to keep His promises. Why? Because He is loyal and He is constant. And because of that faithfulness, God would make them strong and guard them from the evil one. Praise God. Praise God. Because there is an evil one at work. And I can't wait till Jesus comes again to destroy the wicked one. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians. Look at this. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. Paul wrote this, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by who? Jesus Christ. That you be enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. That's the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in you. Look at this. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in that day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say this with me once again. God is faithful. Once again at home, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we just read that God is going to confirm us before His Father that we have eternal life and we will forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as the spiritual battles intensify, saints of God, the true enemy of all believers is really one entity, and that is Satan himself. Why? Because the Lord is faithful and He will protect His gospel message and it will continue to spread across the world and achieve what God intended it to do with great results. And because, saints of God, the Lord is faithful, He will strengthen you, protect you, and He will bless all the believers. And this does not mean that they will never face difficulties. I hope you know that. A lot of us have experienced difficulties and trials and tribulations in our saved life. It just means that God is faithful. And the result for all believers will be to spend eternity with God. That promise will never change. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God, that His promises are yes and amen? That we will live with Him forevermore. We will be changed. We will have a brand new body. Hallelujah. Just like His. You see, when Jesus rose again, He was the first prototype to have that type of body. He can appear and disappear. Praise God. He went through walls. He ate. Praise God. That new body will be able to eat as well. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man, that brought great joy to me. And for some of you, that's probably great joy as well. And so, my friends, even so, prayer is a vital factor behind all of this activity. Can I get amen? as the missionary spread God's message, they understood that spiritual forces were at work. The faithful Lord, though, Jesus Christ, was with them, and the evil one against them. He's always going to be the foe of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they realized, saints of God, that they were not involved in a merely human endeavor. They were on the Lord's battlefields under the command of His authority, knowing that we would win. They would win. Yet, they needed His guidance and the constant prayers of believers every step of the way. Can I get an amen? That's right, every step of the way. So let's move on now to verse 4 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things which we command. Praise God, praise God. Now, this verse of Scripture, saints of God, is basically about obedience. Obedience. You see, saints, Christ is faithful. Do we believe that? Say that with me at home. Christ is faithful. So Christ is faithful, but His followers must do their part in being obedient. Paul has confidence that the Thessalonian believers were practicing the things he had commanded them. My question, are we obeying the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we looking at the Scripture and are we applying them literally to our life to obey the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Because they're a commandment. Let's look what was written by Luke in the book of Acts. Look at this. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Did you catch that, saints of God? Oh, that's right. Look what 1 Peter 1:14 says. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. And many of us were ignorant at one time, saints of God. Look at this in 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Let me just pause there for a minute. What God is asking you and I, it should never be burdensome. We should do it with joy. And so whatever God detests in His life, and He calls it either an abomination or He calls it evil, we should look at it no differently. Can I get an amen in the house? That's right. And whatever God loves, we need to love. That's right. And so if God loves us, then we should learn to love one another. Can I get an amen in the house? Let's go back to another scripture here. Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Praise God. Praise God. Now, look what Luke wrote. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Wow. Wow, that's the key right there, saints of God. If God is asking us to refrain, to walk in humility, to walk in sanctification, to have a heart of forgiveness for everyone that offends us, we need to be like Christ. Can I get amen? But Jesus just said that. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Listen, if we're going to be true followers of Christ, we need to be people that will say yes and amen to the Lord. Can I get amen? Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul's confidence rested not in the Thessalonians themselves, but in God who had chosen them. And they had more than shown their obedience to the teachings of the apostles, even as they had experienced persecution. Praise God. And they were persecuted to the tilt. Listen, we don't know what true persecution is. We go through trials and tribulations. We go through sometimes physical afflictions. You know, we go through medical afflictions, things that happen to our body. We have relational problems. But last Sunday, I read that Paul, he was beaten by steel rods. He was thrown out of a two-story building. He was shipwrecked, bitten by a poisonous snake as he carried the gospel message. He was robbed, beaten, and even people in his own town jumped him and beat him up. Saints, none of us have experienced that type of persecution, but there's a time coming where we might have to endure. Why? Because this generation, especially in our nation, is turning their backs on God, and the woke generation hates the things of God. and they hate you and I, and they would rather see us gone so that they can live out their ungodly agenda. But see, saints of God, believers at this time do not have the New Testament as we're reading in Thessalonica and Thessalonians chapter 2. So they had to listen carefully to the teachings of the apostles. And therefore, Paul spoke of them doing what they were called to do and what he and the other apostles commanded, because their teaching came from where? It came from God. It came from God Almighty. Praise God. So now, let's turn now to verse 5 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now may the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Praise God, praise God. That's one of the key, that we would have patience in what God is doing in our life. You see, saints of God, Paul's prayer for these believers was that the Lord would bring them into an ever deeper understanding of the love of God and the endurance that comes from Christ. Wanting the believers to move forward with commitment, Paul asked God to guide the believers as they meditated on God's love for them and on Christ's patience and endurance. Such inner determination, saints of God, would enable them to face and overcome their difficulties. And this is what God wants to do through you and I, is that we would persevere, that we would press into the prize and call in Christ Jesus, that we would look unto the cross, we would look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God wants us to succeed. God wants us to persevere. God wants us to endure all the way to the end. Because when we get to the end, I want Jesus to say this for you and this for me. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Wow. How many of you want to hear that from Christ? Praise God. Let's move on to verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Wow. Wow. You know, that sounds pretty harsh, but it really is not. Let me just say this for a moment, saints of God. Let me just say this. I'm going to say this in love. There are people that we have witnessed to, shared the love of God, share Christ, and it seems like it goes in one ear and out the other. And until God quickens them, until God does something miraculously like he's done for you and I, we need to obey what the scripture says. Some people are just a hindrance to your life. They want to pull you back into the world. They want to pull you back into the clubs. They want to pull you back into the language of the culture. They want to do all these ungodly influences in your life. This is where we have to be strong in the power of his might. This is where we have to truly say, if God is for me, who can be against me? And through love, there are times where we have to distance ourselves from these folks. Oh, that's right. Why? Because their whole agenda is led by the spirit, not of Christ, but of the enemy. And all they want to do is hinder you. Because if Satan can render you useless, you are no good for the kingdom of Christ. And that's what the enemy wants to do. Praise God. But saints of God, I'm here to let you know that God loves us. God will keep us. I remember when I first got saved. Oh, that's right. I had a whole bunch of ungodly friends. But I praise God. He gave me the mind to be saved, the heart to repent, and I let one by one go. Why? Because I knew that they had nothing to do with the love of God, the grace of God. They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Oh, that's right. They looked at me as if I lost my mind. But let me just say this. I gained my mind through Christ, and God has given me a brand new mind. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God. Praise God. So saints, Paul had already discussed the issue of idle Christians in the first letter. But apparently, the problem had continued. And perhaps Paul's instruction had not been strong enough. So this passage made it clear that commands regarding idleness came with authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, the first letter tells Christians to this right here. Let me just show you this right here. to warn those who are lazy, to warn them, to let them know that, hey, we need to be about our Father's business. And that is, the believers were to firmly admonish those who were in this state of mind. And so let's look at this Greek word. It's called atektos. Atektos. That's a tongue twister for me. But what does that mean? It's a word, saints of God. It's a word used for soldiers who will not stay in the ranks. And while everyone else was working and serving, they would not. And some were probably using the excuse for waiting for Christ to return. Oh, that's right. Listen, we know Jesus is coming, but we still need to be about our Father's business. We're supposed to still take care of our household, continue to work, worship and praise and serve the Lord at the same time. Why? Because we need to patiently wait on the return, praise God. And these folks back then, they may have considered working as too menial or as unspiritual, equivalent to laying up treasures on earth rather than in heaven. They may have been creating a problem by expecting wealthier people in the church to support them. But Paul was firm, saints of God, that these believers were not honoring their faith. Paul's command goes a step further. No longer are believers told to warn these lazy people. They are told to stay away from any Christian who lives in idleness and doesn't follow the tradition of hard work that were given to them. This does not refer to excommunication at all from the church, but to be withdrawing intimate fellowship from them. Why? Because they can contaminate you in their idleness. And some of them have ungodly. So this word right here, let's go back to this word right here. This is what that all means. Praise God. That's what it all means, saints of God. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. And so we need to continue to walk worthy of our call. Can I get an amen? And by refusing to associate with these people, the Christians were rebuking them, hoping to get them to change their conduct. Basically, Paul was saying, cut off their support. Oh yeah, there's some moochers. Can I get an amen? Praise God. So let's move on to our next verse in 7 and 8. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we may not be a burden to any of you. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing? Paul was never a burden. He brought many with him, and they worked for a living. They weren't looking for charity. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, I've been to churches where they'll take 2, 3, 4, 5 offerings. My goodness. They'll pick you up and toss you upside down to shake every penny from you. My goodness. I went to one and I just left. I said, no, this is not for me. They're making this a business. They're making this a marketplace. We need to be about our Father's business. All that's required as far as believers are concerned is when we come together on that beautiful Sunday morning is to give unto the Lord His first fruits. Give unto the Lord our tithes and offerings. That's all He's requiring. He's not requiring you to keep on shaking us and to put a burden on us. There are some times we can't give. Can I get an amen? And the times you can, praise God. Praise God. We need to walk in faith, saints of God. We need to believe God in all things. Praise God. And so, saints, Paul's first letter describes how he and his companions had worked during their stay in Thessalonica. They were never lazy and had not taken food without paying for it. They did not want to be a burden to anyone, but wanted to pay their own way. Praise God. I'm so blessed. Paul and his companions probably enjoyed hospitality at various times during their ministry. And Paul's point was that he did not expect hospitality or to impose on it from anyone. Praise God. Praise God for Paul. Trained as a tent maker, Paul had worked at this job and then took time to preach the gospel. My friends, I still work. I still have, let me just say this. My real estate business is my livelihood, but the church is my passion. That's how I roll. That's right. My business supports my family. And your tithes and offerings keeps the ministry going. That's how it works. It's as simple as that. Praise God. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God, saints of God. And because the people who had brought the gospel in the Thessalonians had worked not to be a burden on anyone, so should the believers in the city for the following example. Let's look at this. We're going to close now with verse 9. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example on how you should follow us. Wow. Wow, saints of God. They were truly an example. They were truly an example. Paul and the other missionary saints of God had the right to expect lodging and food in exchange for the message they had brought. But they did not demand it. If it was given graciously, they received it. Praise God. Listen, when someone wants to bless you, you receive it gladly because it came from the Lord. But when you're asking for blessings from people, that's not of God. God doesn't want us to be beggars. God wants us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, look what it says in the Word of God right up here. Luke wrote this. Jesus said, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such thing as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Did you catch that? You go where God's called you. And wherever God's called you, that's where you sow in that ministry. And you watch it grow, and you watch your faith grow, and you watch your life being blessed. Because you're doing the things that God has called you to do. Praise God. It's as simple as that. And so, saints, though most traveling preachers did this, Paul did not want to be a burden or on others. He did not want to appear to be preaching in order to be housed and fed. That was in Paul. He didn't roll like that. In some places, he did accept such gifts. But in Thessalonica, he did not. So strong was his passion for spreading the gospel message. And that should be the first most agenda in our lives, that souls would be saved. I'm not worrying about financial gain. I want to see souls get saved. And so did Paul. And the gospel message that he will not allow anything to hinder its progress. And if it seems, saints of God, that to accept food and lodging would hinder his effectiveness as a minister of the gospel, then he would gladly waive his rights. Praise God. And work to pay his own way. Oh my goodness. In this way, the missionaries had made themselves an example to follow. And those who shared the gospel message with others must not only speak the message, but live it as well. Can I get an amen in the house? They must be examples worthy of imitating the apostles and especially the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I know what we see in the world today. We see what Jesus had indicated in Matthew 24, that we are living in the last days, and Jesus is soon to return. We're seeing earthquakes in many places. Look at all the volcanoes that are blasting off right now because of the earthquakes. Oh yes, we're seeing famines and pestilences. The pestilence that we're seeing is all these variant types of COVID-19. This pestilence that came upon us has been with us now a year and a half. It hasn't gone away. Jesus said that these things would happen in the last days. There would be an apostasy, people leaving the church. You know, since COVID, there's been so many in our church, let alone I know a lot of pastors that have wonderful churches, and many of their congregants have not returned since COVID. COVID derailed a lot of people, physically, mentally, emotionally. Oh, yes. But Jesus said that these signs would be there. that we would see clearly that we're living in the end days. That's right. We're living in the days of Lot and Noah. There, it was sexually immoral and it was violent in the streets. And I could go on with a list of all the things that has taken place, but I just don't have the time. We just need to know one thing, my friends, that right behind me, you see those clouds? Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back in the clouds. And he's going to take us home. He's going to remove the church out of the way. Praise God. That we may see him face to face. And when I say we may, doesn't mean that we won't. It says, when I say that we may, I'm talking about those who have not yet given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too would be included. Because I know I'm going to see Jesus face to face, and many of you that are watching will as well. But there are people who have not yet been born again from above. It was clear what Jesus told Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews back then. In John chapter 3, it says that there was a man, a ruler, who came to Jesus by night. And he had a sit down with Jesus. And he said to Jesus, what must I do? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What did Jesus mean by that? That means we need to be born from above. We've been born through our mother's womb once, naturally. But now we need the second birth. And that would come from heaven. And the only way to receive the second birth is to have a heart that would repent. In other words, we would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would cry out and ask God to forgive us of our sins. That we would believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would believe that Jesus died and rose again for you and I, that we would live with him forevermore. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. Children understand that clearly, and they do not err. It's us adults that are knuckleheads sometimes. But Jesus is coming. He's coming again. Look what he told the Thessalonian church. But I don't want to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive will remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, comfort one another with these words. Praise God. And so, my friends, the next greatest event that's about to take place, it's called the rapture of the church, where God snatches us out of this untoward generation. And he will transform us and change us, and we will be just like him. You see, this body that we live in cannot go into heaven. Our soul and spirit will, but God's going to reunite our soul and spirit with the brand new body like his, which we will be able to be with him, and we will be able to travel totally differently, and we will no longer have any pain or sorrow. We won't have the sinful mind no more. We will be just like him. And so look at this right up here. This is what it's about to take place. Now this I say, brethren, in 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible, this body that we live in right now, must put on incorruption, a body that's not corrupt. And this mortal must put on immortality, meaning a body that will live forever. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then should be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, my friends, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't been born again with the Spirit of promise, if you have not been washed in the blood, baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, please, you need to do so before you leave this earth. Because if not, don't let this next event happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow. Wow, what a question. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready that God would save you and that you know without a shadow of a doubt you'll be with the Lord forevermore? Listen, my friends, Paul made it so clear in the Gospels, but Peter, the one that denied Jesus three times, you remember, he was afraid. He was afraid for his life. But when the power of God came in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came and empowered him, he preached his very first sermon. And this is what he wrote. Let's look at this for a moment. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." That means forgiveness. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Aren't you so blessed that God is with us? God will never leave us nor forsake us. But for those of you that have logged in and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that are logged in right now to pray with me for you, and that you would ask God to come into your heart and change you, and that you can be ready to meet the Lord in the air. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. Someone just got saved. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, down below is our website. Log on. We want to reach out to you and give you a Bible and pray for you and point you to a good church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And so also I want to give a shout out to all those who have continually blessed our ministry. Down below as well as our website, donations are deeply appreciated. And so my friends, I'm looking forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10:30, live in-person service. We're going to have tremendous worship. And don't forget, in 2 weeks on a Friday night, 6:30 p.m. there at our beautiful Bonita location will be our annual Christmas service. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I want to leave this benediction with you. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, it's time to sign off and say goodbye. Thank you for tuning in this evening at our book, chapter, and verse expository teaching. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10:30. And so God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.